Now, how's this for a change of career direction? Louise Chapman used to be a school teacher, but now she travels all across Britain seeking out moles. And she's so good at it that she's now just taken over the reins as head of the British Mole Catchers Registration. And she joins me on the line now. Good afternoon, Louise.
Good afternoon.
Now, Louise, educator to mole catcher is hardly an obvious career path. Why and when did you become fascinated with moles?
Well, I was in teaching for about 6 years and perhaps wasn't entirely happy with it. Really liked being outside. Then sort of bought a house and did a program of renovation on it. And I had quite a lot of land with it. So I thought, right, what shall I do next? So I decided to take a course at Eastern College in garden design. And whilst there, I was just having a look at what else they taught. I saw a mole catching course and I thought, well, that's quite interesting. I've got some moles, I'll go and learn how to do that. So I went on this course and didn't really consider that I'd be doing it for a living. I realised that there were lots of gardeners about and garden designers, but very few mole catchers.
So there was you saw a gap in the market?
I saw a gap in the market, yes. Yeah. So I got some business cards made and set up a website and haven't really had to advertise really ever since. And then, of course, I was approached in January of this year by Brian Alderton, who started the British Mole Catchers Register, which goes under the britishmolecatchers.co.uk. And he said, you know, I've been looking to try and get somebody to take over my business, but can't find the right person, but think that you'd be the right person for it. So would you be interested? Which, of course, I was quite honoured and thrilled that he'd approached me, and so this I did. It's a database of all the mole catchers in the UK. A one-stop shop for all your mole problems, we could say.
Now, talk to us about moles and the impact they have if you do have them on your land or in your garden.
Of course. So moles, they are fascinating creatures, and I could just talk to you forever about them because I've studied them in depth, and I'd like to think there's not too much I don't know about them. So fundamentally, moles' sole purpose is to eat worms, and moles really need to eat 20 worms a day to survive. So if they don't do this for 2 days, they're really going to start to not feel very good and perhaps not survive. So in order to do this, they need to dig tunnels in the ground, in people's gardens. And of course, the earth that they dig to remove the soil from those tunnels comes up in little heaps on people's lawns and gardens. So their run systems can be, say, up to 400 metres in length, which is fairly extensive. They can move 540 times their own body weight in earth in a day. So they are absolutely sort of phenomenal diggers they're the only mammal that spend their whole life in this sort of subterranean world underground. So therefore, if they don't get their quota, they will extend their run system, and then they will leave the existing run system that they've already dug. They will leave that so that, that replenishes, so that worms can then come back in it because it's not using the worms in there, redig a new area, collect more worms, and so on. So just do this all day, every day. They work 4 hours on, 4 hours off.
I'm looking at the estimates of 30 to 40 million moles in the UK. I mean, we're familiar with the term breeding like rabbits, but it sounds like maybe it should be breeding like moles.
Well, I think the thing is, strychnine was banned in 2006, and strychnine was used to control the mole population. But it was very environmentally, not very good, because if a person who was, using the strychnine, if they put the, 10 worms in a mole run, a mole ate one worm, A, it would have a terribly sort of lingering, slow, terrible, painful death. Mm. But of course, then the other animals that came in and ate the remaining worms would also have the same experience. So the only way really to deal with the mole legally is to trap it.
Talk to us then about how you actually do go about trapping a mole. And then how do you kill it? What is the most humane way, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, it's to trap them with good quality traps set correctly. I approach things, I go and look at the job. I'll be able to tell how many moles are working on the site broadly. Usually I'm fairly accurate. And I can see this by how the mole's working. And then you put traps in sort of strategic positions. I mean, to catch a mole, you've got to think like a mole. So you've got to try and think, where is that mole going to go next? Put the trap in that position to try and catch it.
So it's part mole catcher, part chess player almost.
Yes, so it's like being a mole detective, I suppose.
Getting to the killing or the extermination of the mole, how is that done?
Well, the trap kills the mole relatively instantly. the mole pushes its nose through the trap, which then activates a trigger, which then crushes the mole. And it sounds ghastly.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very pleasant at all. But then, you know, in your opinion, you think this is more humane than poisoning, as you mentioned before.
Yes, well, it's quicker. If we're to manage wildlife, we have to do it in the most effective and the quickest way possible so as to minimise suffering to the animal. That's the objective of it. The thing is, you know, some people have a view. They say, okay, well, you know, they should be left to do their own thing. And that's absolutely fine. But equally, people get them in their gardens and they do become completely traumatised. People get very upset, particularly men get quite sort of territorial, you know, about their garden and it being invaded by this very small animal.
My home and my garden is my castle. What about relocating them, though, or resituating them? Is that not a possibility?
That's a really good question, actually. So I had a customer once, and she said, well, we caught a mole last year. I said, right, how did you do that? She said, well, we put a hose down the hole. She said, we flushed it out, and it sort of popped out the other side, and we got it in a bucket. I said, okay, then what did you do? She said, well, then we took it, and she said, we put it in the woodland. I said, okay. So I said, well, you think you're being very kind. I said, but what you're doing effectively, I said, it's like me taking you out of your home where you've got your bed and your fridge and you know where everything is and putting you somewhere completely at random without any food, shelter or anything. You're going to starve because moles won't share a territory. So yes, they can dig very, very quickly. But remembering again what I said earlier, they've got to eat 20 worms a day to survive. So if you take the mole out of its territory, take it somewhere and put it somewhere new. If there's a ready-made territory there already with no other mole living in it, fine. But we can't see under the ground.
Louise, obviously, from what you've told me, business for you is booming. Do you recommend mole catching as a career choice?
Absolutely. It's not a job. It's a way of life. Living the dream, I suppose. You know, just there's no pressure. Teaching, as you know or may understand, is very, very stressful. I'm just out in the fresh air all day, every day, meeting lovely, lovely people, solving a problem that exasperates them often. So everyone's happy, and it's just great. It's no stress. The only stress is if I don't catch the mole. But if I don't catch the mole, I don't get paid. But I normally catch the mole, so it's not a problem. But I don't always catch it first time because they're clever creatures and they're wild animals.
Good stuff. Louise Chapman, head of the British Traditional Mole Catchers Register. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks very much. Thank you.